Hello,
Hello.
hello, hi there.
Hello.
Is that Colin?
Yes.
Hi there, it's Jay Cullen from MRA Legal. You okay?
I'm all right, mate, aye.
Good, good. Do appreciate to have called yourself Colin. I have called you later than what we agreed, so I do apologise for that. Just for data protection, could you confirm the first line of your address and your postcode, please?
It's 9 Waterloo Place, and the postcode is IV11NB.
Brilliant. And lastly, your date of birth, please.
5979.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for that. So the purpose for the call today is obviously to obtain the witness statement to support your application to submit it to Scottish Redress. The witness statement, as we've explained previously, it is a basically your last bit of evidence that you will submit to redress.
Aye.
It is a statement of your time in care or how it's affected you, any abuse that you were a victim to, and how it's affected you later on in your adolescence. That's submitted to Scottish Redress, and the only other people that will see that document is yourself and us as a law firm. It doesn't go anywhere else.
Aye.
Once we submit that to redress, we will wait for a panel date from them. And then once you've got that panel date, that will just be to see how much compensation they are awarding you. So the witness statement itself is just basically a question and answer session. You are fully in control of the statement. You're fully in control of the meeting. So if you need to have a break or you want to skip any questions, do you want me to give you a call back? Just let me know,
Aye.
and we can do that. Okay. Some of the questions will seem a bit repetitive. Some of them will also seem irrelevant to what we're discussing. But I can
Aye.
assure you that every question I ask is necessary for part of the statement, and will help us draft a fully fledged statement for yourself. Okay.
Right.
For real. I'm going to get started on the statement now. Just going to clarify a couple of details before we go into it. Just going to clarify that you are completely eligible for the scheme, and then we will go into the start of the statement. So I've got your full name is Colin James McKay. Date of birth is the 5th of September 1979. Your current address is 9 Waterloo Place in Inverness, IV1, 1 November, Bravo. Okay. Are you happy to continue with the statement today, Colin?
Aye, may I?
Okay, would you like anyone to be with you?
No, I'm all right. I'm all right.
Okay, is there anything I can do to help you or make you feel more comfortable?
No, mate, on you go.
Okay, is there any words or topics that you don't want me to speak about?
No, talk a bit then.
Okay. And you understand that the purpose of the statement is to support your redress application?
Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, you understand that the purpose of the statement is to
Aye.
support your application.
Aye.
Okay. Brilliant. You were under the age of 18 when you were in a care setting.
Yeah.
The care setting was based in Scotland.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And can you remember who you were placed in care by? Was it by social workers, by children's?
The children's panel, the authorities. It wasn't my parents that put me away. It was basically the authorities that put me away because of my behaviour, you know.
Okay. And was it a residential school or secure
Aye,
unit?
it was like children's homes, residential schools, stuff like that, different ones.
Okay. Brilliant. Okay, so that is just the eligibility questions out the way. So I'm going to go into a little bit about your personal background and life prior to care. So where did you grow up, Colin? What area did you grow up in?
I grew up in a place called Maryhill.
Mary Hill.
Yeah, it's in North Glasgow.
Okay, and what sort of property was it you lived in? Was it a house, a flat?
I lived in a high flat, a tenement, a tower block.
Okay, brilliant. And can you tell me a bit about your family and home life before you went into care? if you can remember.
I brought up, my mother and father split up when I was four. And then my mother had a boyfriend for years who kind of brought us up. That's that would have been the time when I went into care, stuff like that. I remember that age.
And did you say, who was that, sorry, you said brought you up then?
It was my mother's boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Effectively, you
Because
brought.
my mother and my biological father split up when I was about four.
Oh, okay. Okay, not a problem. And what was, can you remember what your relationship was like with your mum and your original father?
Between both of them or between me and them?
Yeah, between you and them, sorry.
Yeah, brand new. Yeah, but as I say, I got brought up with my mother, but my father still lived in the area, and I still got to see him quite regularly, stuff like that, and so everything was okay that way.
Okay. Okay, and can you remember any difficulties at home before you were placed into care? So was the was there any sort of illnesses or any sort of poverty or family breakdown?
Aye, well, we didn't have nothing. You know what I mean? We came from a poor area, so nobody in my area had anything, really.
Yeah.
The only people that had anything were people that maybe their fathers or their something, their mothers were up to no good sort of thing. You know what I mean? That's the only people that had money in our area.
Okay.
But yeah, we
That's
didn't
fine.
have much in our house.
Okay, brilliant. And you said that you were around four when things started to change.
Sorry.
You said you were around 4 years of age when things started to change.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was. That's what age of my father finally left, or my mother kicked him out. Whatever happened, but that happened at 4 years old.
Okay. Before you went into care, Colin, what was your health like? Was you in good health?
Yeah, I was in okay health. Yeah, I was the only thing I'd wrong with, I was anemia. I was anemic, but other than that, I was okay.
Okay, brill. And before entering care, can you remember what your education and school life was like? Did you go to school?
Hardly ever. I was always dogging it, as we say up here, playing truant. And I only finished like 9 months of first year in high school.
Sorry, so this is just prior to going into care. So when you were in like primary school and stuff, did you have so basically you were being put through education, you weren't being kept off school.
No, it was me bunking off. You know what I mean? It wasn't my
Okay.
family. It wasn't my mother allowing me to stay off or whatever. She thought I was going to school, but I was away then just disappearing for the day, you know what I mean? Like dogging it sort of thing, as we say up here. So
Yeah, we completely understand. We call it sagging down here.
aye.
SHAGING, sagging off school.
And then I'd done a bit more school work, but that was in a home, that was in care later on, in a place called Kibble. I'd done
Okay.
some prelim exams, things and that stuff like that there, but then I ended up in another place, I ended up in another
Okay.
kind of locked place, Julesland. And then from then on it was a Young Offenders Institutions.
Okay. Not a problem. Okay, and before you went into care, did you or prior to your time in care, was you aware of any sort of health conditions, vulnerabilities, learning difficulties, anything along those lines?
What, from me?
Yeah, for yourself.
No, I've never been diagnosed with any learning difficulties or any diagnoses like ADHD or anything like that. You never heard
Okay.
these words back then when I was young.
Yeah, true. Okay, brill. And have you always been known by Colin James McKay?
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. And so I'm just going to go into your entry into care. The first question was, how did you come to be placed into care? But you said that it was the local authority that placed you into care.
I was mad about cars. I couldn't stay away from cars. So it was stealing cars all the time, getting caught, got to children's panels, and not learning my lesson, just kept doing it. And eventually they got sick of me and put me in care.
Okay.
There would have been other crimes in there as well, but mostly it was car crime. It was stealing cars.
Yeah. Okay. And was you told, Colin, that you were getting taken into care? Was the transparent with you?
I don't know. I can't even remember, mate. It was just one day I was at a panel, and then the next day they went, right, you're not going home with your parents this time. You're going with this police officer or a social worker or whatever. And I just got took to home.
Okay.
There was another time where I got lifted and I just got took straight to home. I didn't know what was going on.
Okay. And can you remember the place and authority that put you into care? So was it Glasgow Council?
It would have been Glasgow City Council, I would imagine, part of.
Okay. Okay, Colin. And then growing up, did you have any siblings? Did you have any brothers and sisters?
I've got an older sister and a younger sister.
Okay. And were any of those taken into care?
My younger sister ended up in care for a bad behaviour as well.
Okay. And I take it that you and your younger sister that were placed in care, I take it you just got split up.
Aye, well, this would have been years later because my younger sister's 6 years younger than me, so I would have been doing prison time just when my younger sister would have been placed into care. I'd have been in some jail somewhere.
Okay, not a problem. The only reason I asked that, Colin, is because if they have split you up, then that's it's a form of neglect, basically. But if you were both being placed into care together, then you realistically the authority should keep you together.
Yeah, I know
so
that.
That's why we ask.
There's too much a time difference, you know.
Yeah.
I would have been in jail. I'd have been an adult, really, basically. I don't know. If my wee sister was maybe 14, say, would she get put into care, then I would have been 20, you know what I mean? I'd have been just turning a con, so.
Okay, for real.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been anywhere near the care system. I'd have been in the prison system, but no, the care system.
Yeah, understood. No worries. Okay, Colin, and when you were going into the institution, can you remember how you felt at the time, the first time that you were ever placed into a residential?
Oh, you talk about like residentials and children's homes and stuff.
Any time, the very first time that you were placed anywhere.
I think I got put in during the night one night, and I didn't know what was going on. I woke up in the morning, obviously in a strange building, you know.
Okay.
And there was other kids in the bedroom about me. It was mixed, I remember. I think it was two or three young girls. We're about my age, we're in beds as well, and it was like a big dormitory up in the top. It was upstairs in a house in the west end of Glasgow. It's a place called Ailsa.
Oh, okay.
Ailsa.
Okay, real. Thank you.
That would have been on. No, Clarence Drive, what would have been the name of that? The Tunbury Road, I think the name of the road was where that home was.
Okay, I'll find that, don't worry.
I was in one in Johnston called Newfield. That was like a residential, that was an assessment centre to see where they were going to put you next, sort of thing.
Okay, I see. Okay, Brill. So, the next part of this colony is the chronology of care. So we have reached out to a few different councils, and they have come back with certain documents. But the chronology of care that we've been provided, just by the sounds of it, it doesn't sound like they've given us everything that you're speaking about. So I just want to go through that with you from start to finish, from what you remember.
You know they're going to do that anyway, because they're going to probably straighten the book, not to pay what they're going to have to pay. You know that? You know yourself how they work.
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, if they've got information there that they're withholding, it's not basically how the redress scheme view the witness statements is on the basis that the person whose witness statement it is telling the truth. So if we can evidence that as well, then it basically secures your version of events, makes your witness statement stronger.
That's why I had a problem at first when the Glasgow company contacted me to do this.
Yeah.
I thought, I could tell you loads of stuff that happened to me that shouldn't have happened, but it's proven it. It was 30 years ago. How can I prove that they two or three or four screws dragged me in a cell when a young offender's institution kicked the shit out of me? I can't prove that 30 years
exactly.
later. I could tell you their names. I could tell you exactly how it happened. I could tell you all that.
But they're
going to obviously deny it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
well, that's exactly what we need. And the reason that we need that is because other people who have similar stories of the same places that you visited can't also be lying. So what Redress do, they've got a big, massive system of intelligence, if you like, where they know names of perpetrators, they know what institutes this was happening in, they know what councils covered it up, you know, that they've got everything there. So it's basically a case of them reading your witness statements and cross-referencing. The second that they can see that you went to certain care settings, or you were placed in certain prisons in certain times and so on, they will automatically know that you are telling the truth.
I could give you dates and names of screws and fucking whatever years and all that, and it would all line up perfectly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Brilliant.
Loads of stuff.
Okay, so we start with your care, your placement chronology now. So the very first place that you can remember being placed.
It was either that place I told you, Ailsa, or the other place, Newfield, which is just out in a place near Paisley, just the outskirts of Glasgow. It's a little town called Johnston. And there was an assessment centre out there. So I don't know if I was in there at first, or I was in Ailsa in the west end of Glasgow at first, but it was one of the two.
Okay. And can you remember the approximate date that you went there?
That would have been, I don't know the approximate date, but I know the year would have been, I don't know, maybe 92, 93, maybe around about there, 94 at the most. I would say it would be more 92 or 93. I would have been about 12 or 13 around about then. Because then I went to other places after that until I was 15, and then I went to Longreth again before I was even old enough to go. I wasn't even a YO yet. I get put into a young offenders when I was 15. But you had to be 16 really to go to the young offenders. But they put me under something called an unruly. It was the police that would do that. So the police would say, right, well, no, he's not going back to the children's home he was in, or the secure unit. We're sending him to the actual prison.
Okay.
And it was a section something. You were called an unruly, basically. They basically regarded you as uncontrollable, sort of thing. You know, your parents couldn't control you, the police couldn't control you. You've been at court and whatever, and so that was like the last resort.
Okay. Okay, brilliant. And so from there, I have then got that there was an admission into Gaisland School. Is that how you pronounce it?
It's pronounced Gaisland, as in just like jail, as in normal jail, like prison. But it is pronounced weird, but it's pronounced Gaisland.
Okay, brilliant. So that was from the 23rd of March, 1995. That's when you went in there.
Right, yeah, I couldn't even tell you. I knew it would have been run about then, run about 94, yeah. 95, whatever, but...
Yeah. Okay, and then after there, is that Custody of Barlini and
that's the remand place I was put into before I was even... that's pronounced Long Rig End,
okay.
Aye, so just so Long, say Long, and then Rig End after. Long Rig End. I was in there, but you used to go up to Balani for a couple of nights to Long Rig End. Bus came down to collect you.
Okay,
You would end up actually stuck in Balani with the cons. You were only in cell with the cons, but you could be locked up next door. And sometimes you'd lie there for a couple of days until Long Rig End came, the bus came down from there and picked you up to Balani and took you up.
Ah, I see, okay.
You're
so sort of like a little respite in between.
It was just like if you went to court, say, and you were a young offender and you got remanded, you would go direct to court to Balani with everybody, all the men and the other young offenders. And then the young offenders would get put into the men's halls, but they would make sure that young offenders get put in together, you know what I mean? So they weren't in with men. And you'd maybe lie there for a day or two before the bus to Long Rig End then came down and picked you up and took you to the jail you're supposed to be in.
Okay, cool. I see. Okay, perfect. And then after just the Geesland and Long Rig End, where was the next placement after that, or was it?
So it would have been Pullman Young Offenders.
POLMONT, isn't it?
Yeah. That's just out near Falkirk.
And was that age 16 to 17, was it?
That would have been from the end of 1995 right up until 2000, I'd have been in and out there constantly.
Yes, I've got that here. I think it was actually 96, 12th of September 96, up until, well, yeah, and then I've only got up until your adolescence then.
Oh, well, I turned 21 during a sentence in Pullman and got shipped from Pullman to Balani that day, right. On my 21st birthday. That would have been in 2000. September 2000.
Yeah, 6th September 2000.
Right.
28th September 2000, sorry. Okay, brilliant. So that's the chronology done. Obviously, we can only go up to the age of adolescence.
Right.
For the scheme. Okay, so Ailsa or Newton, as obviously you don't know which way it was, I'll just class those as one care set for you, so we can speak about that as a whole.
Aye.
Okay, brill. So you've already told me the location and the approximate dates. I already know how old you was when you were there. You stayed there for how long was it altogether, roughly?
What one are we referring to here?
So this is Ailsa or Newton.
Ailsa. Ailsa, I would have been there for, I don't know, I wouldn't say it would have been anywhere in a few months. And the Newfield place that I went to, because it was those two that I'm talking about now, they're either one and two, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were the first two I was in. I just can't remember which is one and which is two. But
okay.
Then I went to Newfield. I was only supposed to be there for a 3-week assessment, but I ended up being there for about 3 months. Then I think I went home again, and then I was getting into trouble again, and then I ended up in Kibble doing, but I was only getting in there during the day as a schoolboy. I wasn't living in there at night. That was to try and get my education finished.
Okay.
So I used to go there, and then I went, the next place I would have been is Gilesland.
Okay, well. So you would have went to kibble around the age of 14, is that right?
Would have been right about then, mate. Aye, it'd
Yeah.
have been like, it would have been a. I've done my prelims for school exams, the prelims for the real exams in there. So the whatever age you did that, it would have been about 14, I would say, aye.
Okay.
Because the thing about Gilsland is, I think you had to be 15 and above to qualify to get in there. It wasn't for young boys, it was for
Yeah.
older boys. It was like a. Gilsland, if I remember right, was at like a last resort before you went to Polmont and Longreek End and places like that, like where you were
I
locked up
see.
all the time, and you know what I mean? That was like basically, if you don't get buck your ideas up while you're in Gilsland, then
This is what it's going to be like.
the next place you're going to is actual real
Yeah.
jail.
Okay. Okay, I understand. Brilliant. And again, it was the local authority that placed you here. That's fine.
That would have been Ayrshire Council, Gilsland. That wasn't in Glasgow, that was in Ayrshire.
Okay.
That was in a place called Beith, Beith.
Okay, please. Okay, brilliant. Okay, and the type of sentence, these were young offenders. They were residential schools.
Aye, Gilsland was at a residential school. So was Kibble.
Okay, brilliant. So the places where you received abuse, was that in every setting that you went to?
Was Ailsa and Newfield and Gilsland. The only one that ever happened in was Kibble. Because I was only in there during the day, you know what I mean? I wasn't living in there. I used to just go there in the morning and come home after school hours.
Okay, so Ailsa, Newfield and Gilsland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gilsland, I harmed a lot in Gilsland.
Okay. What we'll do then is we'll start chronologically. We'll start with Ailsa first, and we will just discuss how, what went on there and the abuse that you had there. So can you just tell me a little bit about your daily life in Ailsa? So that means what, from getting up, what was your normal routine like?
Well, you would get up in the morning and you would maybe have breakfast, stuff like that. There was like cereal and stuff they would give you. Sometimes you would have, obviously, because you're dealing with authority, so you would have to go and see social workers or whatever that day. Maybe your care worker or something would have to take you to see your social worker or something like that. Or, but other than that, you just sat about that house all day, you know what I mean? There was nothing to do.
Okay.
And then when they started, you know, as I say, I told the other girl that worked with you, your colleague, that for I just thought, of course, and I was a wee bastard, you know what I mean? I deserved everything I got, with all the doings I got and whatever. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think back, you go, well, wait a minute, I was only a child, you know what I mean? You shouldn't have been getting, adults shouldn't have been battering children.
Yeah.
So they would restrain you sometimes, lock you away, refuse to give you your dinner or something like that, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, we'll
Refuse to feed you.
get into that into a second. We just want to just try and explain, paint a picture of that care set in itself. So what it looked like, what the teachers were like, what the
It was just
punishments were like.
well, Ailsa was just a big house. It was like a big Georgian house. It's in a rich area in Glasgow, so it was obviously a family home or whatever at one point, and then it had been converted because it had X amount of rooms in it, big bedrooms in it, foyers, a big kitchen, you know, stuff like that. So it actually just looked like a house. Like, I don't know, I think it's maybe you would class it as a Georgian mansion or something, I don't know. But
Okay.
then the other place, Newfield, that was more built for purpose rather than something that's been converted. That was like a centre, that the little education department and stuff in it used to
Oh.
go to.
Okay, brilliant. And
There was
just
different There was a lot of different units in it.
Okay, brilliant. Just coming back to the staff, carers, teachers, or you know, whoever, whatever you call them when they were there, what were they like? Can you remember anything at all?
Right, well, they just call them staff, you know what I mean? Some, listen, it's like every walk away, some of them are all right, some of them are, well, there to do the job right, but then you got other ones that were there for different reasons, or they couldn't keep their own, you know, their own personal problems at home, so they would come in and take it out, and kids, you know what I mean? The kids were being a pain in the arse or whatever. They maybe got a slap, or they would get restrained, or locked in a room without getting fed, or whatever. Just stuff like that, you know.
Okay. And was there any rules or routines, punishments, anything like that?
I mean, you would get locked in your room if you done anything that they, you know what I mean, if you were carrying on or whatever. The routines were just, would be normal routines. You would get fed at certain times, your lunch, your dinner, whatever. You'd have to be in your room and by a certain time of night, stuff like that. You would get punished with getting put in your room. They're only supposed to know feed you, but if you kicked off at lunch, at dinner time, say, you were being cheeky a lot of the time, they say, well, that's it, you're not getting any dinner then, how's that? And then you wouldn't get any dinner or whatever, so. But that was, again, that was just when that was at the start, yeah. That's when we were just with our kids, it got way worse, obviously, as you got older, you know.
Yeah.
With the violence. Because I never, as I've said to your colleagues, I never experienced any sexual abuse.
Okay.
It was all violence against me. It was all physical violence, just getting boons, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it still shouldn't have happened, mate. So it's,
no, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. You remember what the food was like there? Did you, you know, was you fed you three meals a day apart from?
I think the food was actually okay. You know what I mean? It wasn't bad. It wasn't like slop they were giving you. It was actually, if I remember right, but you got to remember, man. I was fucking what? It was the early 90s, you know what I mean? I've spent all these years in prison, but then my memory's terrible.
Yeah.
For stuff like that, for what food and stuff they served. But I'm pretty sure there was always a cereal there. There was always stuff you could go in and get something to eat.
Okay.
You couldn't just eat whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted. You know, obviously there were certain times where you could eat, but you could ask for a snack or whatever in between meals and you would get it probably, you know.
Okay. Real. And what was your what was the hygiene like there? Was the home itself, was it nice and clean? Did you have something to keep clean with?
It wasn't that clean. The dorm I was in a dorm, and there was there was probably maybe eight beds in it. And it was stuff lying all over the place. It wasn't kept clean like you see in a bar store or something where everything's spotless, you know what I mean?
Okay, not a problem. And in terms of personal hygiene, was there stuff for you to get clean with? Was the, you know, did
yeah,
you have
yeah.
regular baths and stuff like that?
There was a bath and a shower or whatever in the toilet. You could just ask them or whatever, and they would allow you again for a bath or a shower or whatever. Again, I'm no that these sort of details are a bit fuzzy.
Yep, no, it's fine, mate. Again, it's just like I say, it's just to build a picture of what it's like, giving them stuff to stuff that they can marry up with other stories, basically, and that's your real job done. Okay, and when you were in this home, how did you feel?
By an Elsa.
Yeah.
It wasn't that far away from my house, you know what I mean? So I was always, I didn't feel right because I was thinking, well, you know, I'd been threatened by the police about getting put away, you're going to end up in a home and stuff like that. But it wasn't until it happened I realised, well, wait a minute, I don't like this, you know what I mean? I'm away from my home, I'm away from my family, I'm not in my own bed at night, and with other kids about it, and we'll end up fighting with them and stuff like that. You're a bit scared and apprehensive at first, you know what I mean? Because you're only a kid yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a scary time. Okay. Okay, so the next couple of questions. You don't need to use any graphic language. You can explain it in your own words as well. Did anything happen to you whilst you were in ASA that you now consider to be abuse, neglect or harm?
Oh, aye. Plenty of violence, aye. Violence, getting locked in your room for excessive amounts of hours without food, stuff like that, aye. But I've seen that was just the nothing stuff, but plenty of doings I shouldn't have got. Grown men, several grown men are holding you down and beating the shit out of you, you know what I mean? When you're way, way too young to be getting that done.
Okay, and would this happen at any time throughout the day, or was it a specific time?
It usually was when you were being cheeky or whatever, you know what I mean? That's why I dropped this claim thing at first. When I first started going through it, I went, look, half the time I deserved it, you know what I mean? By being cheeky or whatever, or not doing what I'm told, and then they put their hands on you, and then you start struggling, and then, you know what I mean? Before you know it, they're holding you down and getting you beaten. I just thought it was just normal. You know what I mean? Sometimes when young offenders or whatever, I could do it just as much as I go. I would beat them up sometimes, and then they would come back half an hour later, I'd be team-handed and kick the shit out of you, you know what I mean? But they shouldn't have been batting kids, you know what I mean? They shouldn't have been... There's ways to deal with a 13-year-old boy, you know what I mean? If there's five grown men there without holding them down and beating them up, you know what I mean?
Okay. And what would normally happen before you'd get locked in your room and stuff? Would you just misbehave? And it was just you'd be.
If you're misbehaving, then they would say, you know, you've probably heard this from many clients, what they call restraining you. You know what I mean? But restraining somebody and what they were doing was completely different.
Yeah. Okay. And then after, obviously they put you in your room, they wouldn't feed you and stuff, and then after it, would they just act like nothing happened, just back to normal?
Some of the ones that were barring you, and then you would always get one that would try and justify it, you know what I mean? It would try and lecture you after it. If you didn't do this, we wouldn't be forced to do this, and if you hadn't done that, we wouldn't have been forced, you know, we forced this. It was always that the kids forced them to do what they were doing.
Yeah, trying to guilt trip.
It's basically, you know, you left us no other option than the usual bullshit.
Okay. Would you agree that you were threatened, bribed, isolated, or punished?
Absolutely. On many, many occasions.
Okay.
Assaulted into the bargain.
Okay. Did you suffer any pain, injury, bleeding, fear, shock, shame, nightmares, bedwetting, or running away?
I've ran away a lot, and fear, shame, humiliation.
Okay. Real.
I was always running away for the play for jails, and especially.
Okay. And were any of the injuries visible, or were they hidden?
Some of them would be flying, they would punch you in the back, punch you in the ribs and whatever when you were on the ground, you know what I mean? Trying to make it so that there wasn't any visual
yeah.
kind of bruising and that, but There's other times where they just beat the shit out of you, they didn't care where they hit you.
Okay, real.
But they would usually try, I would say, and know they've hit you in the face, but you would have bumps all over your head and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? It was just really the face. They didn't want you walking about with a sore face, or for obvious reasons.
Okay. And did you ever, can you remember ever receiving any medical treatment for any of the injuries?
No.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so the next part of this, it's just going to go into the abuse types for each setting. You said that there was no sexual abuse at all.
No.
Okay, brilliant. There was physical abuse, emotional abuse and neglect, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. So you were you slapped, kicked, punched, shaken, thrown?
All of the above. Arms, twisted legs, twisted, people kneeling on your neck, standing on your side of your head. You know, when they've got you pinned down to the ground, they've all got a hold of some part of you, you know what I mean? As if you're 6'5" and 18 stone and you're going to just jump up all of a sudden and start throwing people about, you know? They would hold you down as if you were still extremely dangerous when really you couldn't move a muscle because you've got 3 or 4 men all holding you down with their knees and their elbows and their hands and pinning you into the ground, you know what I mean? And that was after they gave you a few belts, you know what I mean?
Okay. Okay. So the next one says, were you restrained, pinned down, tied up, locked up, denied food, denied toilet access, made to stand and sit for long periods? I presume not all of that is applies.
Sorry, say that again, mate.
So it says that you were restrained. It's asking if you were restrained, if you were pinned down, if you were tied up, if you were locked up, if you were denied food, denied any toilet access, or made to sit or stand for long periods of time.
Aye, that all applies, yeah.
Okay. Was there ever any objects that were used to hit you? It's like a belt, slipper, stick, cane, keys.
No, as much. Sometimes you would get keys dug into your back or whatever, but usually it was just punching and kicking. It wasn't until you went to the young offender, sometimes you would get cuffed and then beaten up. But
okay.
In the homes, the children's homes or the residential schools or whatever, they didn't use any weapons there. I don't know if any of them had truncheons on them, what truncheons, but I don't know if they were allowed to use them, I don't know. They did have in the jail, but no, maybe not in the residential schools, but they would, they would just beat you with their hands and feet, their knees, stuff like that, elbows.
And did you have any bruising, cuts, scars, swelling, broken bones?
You would be bruised up, aye.
Okay.
Maybe with a fat lip or whatever like that, you know, I never had any breaks or anything like that. It was probably once or twice where they've nearly broke my wrist or broke my arm with the way they've been bending it, you know what I mean? Trying to restrain me, and I've been struggling back. They used to love doing that, putting you into the locks, your wrist locks, and then bending your wrists forward. They love doing that because it was really, really, really sore, you know?
Okay.
They used to love to get a noise out of you, if you know what I mean. If you'd ever made a noise, they hated it. Because you want to gain into them sort of thing, you know, you want to let the pain out. But they love to get guys to scream, you know what I mean, to yell and yelp.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Real fantastic. Okay, I'm going to go into emotional abuse. Were you ever threatened to be moved or punished?
Yeah, you'd have been punished. You'd have been threatened all the time with getting sent to segregation, or I'll set you up, or I'll get you sent to another jail, or I'll stop your visits, or I'll take your PPC off you, or I'll stop you from getting recreation at night and stuff like that. You were always getting threatened. That was a daily occurrence.
Okay.
Access to the phone and all this kind of stuff.
I was going to say, was you ever denied family contact letters, visits or phone calls?
Well, they couldn't stop your mail coming, and they couldn't really stop your phone calls, but they could determine how many phone calls you got a week. You know what I mean? They could really restrict it.
Okay. And when it was birthdays, Christmases, would you get any cards at all or gifts?
Yeah, you would get cards and stuff like that. That was another thing that used to happen on order. They used to steal money at the cons or at the YO's letters. And I've heard that coming from retired officers' mouths and everything, talking about it, saying that's been happening for years.
Yeah.
But officers that had drink problems, gambling problems, whatever, they knew who got money sent in for their family every week. And sometimes